Is that loud enough? Okay. I love God. I thank Him for His goodness and mercy tonight. I know Brother Sutton says one monkey don't stop the show, but I sure like it when he's here. Tonight I feel like God's got something for us. Pastor Sutton's been bringing us through the book of Colossians, and I thought it'd be fitting what God wants to talk to us tonight. We're going to do a little bit more of that here tonight. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll please stand. I love God. I love what God's doing in this end time. We're just going to have us a Bible study tonight. God's going to talk to our hearts. Colossians chapter 2 says, "As ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after traditions of men, after rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Verse 10 says, "You're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." You could be seated tonight. Let's give God thanks and praise for His word. Mighty God, we love You. We give You thanks and praise for Your word. Your word that's forever settled in the heavens. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Your word will never pass away, oh God. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, oh God. Tonight, God, just bless Your people. Help us to understand the day we're living in. Help us to understand the hour. Pastor's been working on these passages and talking about the fact that here's a warning in the book of Colossians. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of men, rulers of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 9 says, "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Jesus said in John 8:24, He said, "Unless you believe I'm He, you're going to die in your sins." And Jesus asked His disciples, He said, "Who do men say I," in Matthew chapter 16, "who do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" Some said, "You're John the Baptist, Elias, or one of the prophets." "But who do you say that I am?" "Thou art the Christ, the Son of living God." He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but My Father which is in heaven. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, first of all, it's who is He? The question in the air is, who is this man called Christ? Why has He come? What has He come to do? Well, first you clarify His identity, and you know that He's the Son of God. And if He is the Son of God, then He's the tabernacle of God in the earth. And Jesus said in John 14:6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Me." He says, "I'm the way, I'm the truth." John 10:9, He says, "I'm the door. If any man comes any other way, he's the same a thief and a robber." Galatians 3:24 teaches us that the law was our tutor to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So when we look at the Old Testament, and we consider the Old Testament, and we look at the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ, there are 213 prophecies about the Messiah. And when we look at Noah's Ark in Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says that it repented God that He made man on the earth. It grieved Him at His heart. And God says, "I will use the earth to destroy man." And when God repented that He made man, there are certain principles in the Word of God that do not change. God's Word is forever settled in the heavens. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will never pass away. So when God repented He made man, what did God do with mankind? He washed it away. Also in that passage, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's amazing to me how many people talk about grace today. And they talk about grace as if there's nothing to do. Grace is God's unmerited favor. We know that. Christ paid the price on the cross. But when Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, God gave Noah a blueprint of escape. For 100 years of Noah's life, he's going to spend time building the ark. Twice it says Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Two times in that passage it said he did according to all that God commanded him. So just because Noah found grace in the eyes did not mean that there was not anything for Noah to do. Now God gave him the plan, so it wasn't Noah's plan, it was God's plan. God gave him the way. It was Noah's responsibility to build the ark and preach righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And so there's always something for us to do. And so just because you talk about grace, always remember there's something to do. Okay? And so we don't want to be spoiled through philosophy. Vain deceit, traditions of men, rules of the world, and not after Christ. I was raised Roman Catholic as a child. When I was 21 years old, I was born again. I was baptized, repented of my sins. I was baptized in Jesus' name, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I believed in the Trinity. I was taught the Trinity from the time I was a child. But you can't build on tradition. You can't build on philosophies of men. You can't build on doctrines of devils. I'll just tell you what it is. Paul told Timothy, he said, the Spirit speaks expressly in the latter days that some shall depart from the faith, not a faith. And so first thing you got to understand, there's only one faith. Ephesians 4 says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, who's Father of all, above all, through all, and in you all. And so first you got to come to grips with the understanding that there's only one way. When you look at the ark had one door. There was only one door. I said there was only one door. And Jesus tells us in John 10:9, I am the door. And he also tells us I'm the way. And so you can't bypass the gospel of Jesus Christ and expect to have salvation today. Okay? First Corinthians, if you'll turn in your Bibles. Chapter number 3 and verse 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so he is the foundation. He is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Mark chapter number 7, starting in verse 6 says, he answered and said unto them, well has Esaias the prophet prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, the people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and whoso curses father and mother, let him die to death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father and mother. Verse 13 says, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, which you have delivered, and many such things like this you do. And so it's very obvious that it's possible for Israel, who knew the word of God, who had the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. They knew Isaiah 53. They knew Psalms 22. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so they knew those passages. They understood that. Jesus said in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. It's the scriptures that testify of me. But he said, you won't come to me that you might have life. And so it was very obvious that they turned away from him. even though they had handled the scriptures. And so the Old Testament was our tutor to Christ, Galatians tells us, that we might be justified by faith. Luke chapter 6, and verse 46, "While ye call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say, whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which builds a house and digs deep." I worked a high-rise work for years in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I distinctly remember a six-story parking garage, and Pastor Sutton may remember the story, I don't know, but I remember a six-story parking garage that we heard about that the thing collapsed. It fell on itself. And the building I was working on, it was called a professional office building. It was a 12-story building. It had two 12-story sections. It had a 9-story section and a 4-story section. And underneath that foundation, I remember for a long time, it took them several months to get the foundation right, because in South Louisiana, it's sinking. So it's pylons and it's deep holes and solid pouring of concrete. And I remember when they started pouring the foundation, they poured round the clock 24 hours. It was steel and concrete, and it was round the clock pouring. And I remember going by, my superintendent, we went by there and looked at it and said, "I wonder if it's ready yet." And you look and say, "No, it's not ready yet." And you was wondering, when they're going to get the foundation right. And it's amazing when you stop and think about what God did. From the time that Adam and Eve, the Bible says, Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the earth. So before God ever made you and I, before God ever made mankind, God knew what man would do. And God knew, in order for this salvation or this redemption or this reconciliation to be complete, there had to be a foundation laid. And God established certain principles in the Bible that you cannot get away from, And faith, the word, the moving of God's spirit, repentance, the blood, the water. You can find these are recurring themes throughout Scripture. Let's just look at the initial creation story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What condition was the earth in? It was without form, and it was void. What prevailed upon that world? Darkness. And the Bible says the Spirit of God moved, and God said. So what do we find in the very beginning of the creation story? We find the moving of God's Spirit, and we also find the Word of God going forth. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new." I don't know about you today, I wasn't raised in truth. I came out of chaos. I came out of drugs, alcohol, broken home, broken marriage, divorced parents. That's what I came out of. And when the minister came to my home and in my life and began to share the word of God with me, I repented of my sins. The first time I ever went to church, I know what repentance is like. I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in an old muddy canal. But that night, right before I got baptized, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the minister came to our home and for a year and a half taught us the word of God. And just like God in the creation story, it took 6 days of creative act of God and God resting. And God's establishing something, and he's showing us something in his word. If we'll pay close attention to it, the way that God established the creative work was by moving on it by his spirit and speaking to it. And it takes that in your life. Without a moving of God's spirit and without the word of God, the Bible says the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. Jesus met a woman at the well in John chapter 4, and he's sitting on a well. And the Bible says it was needful that he went through Samaria, meaning he went to Samaria on purpose. he knew the woman of Samaria was coming. And Jesus sat on the well, and she comes to draw water from the well. And he asks her, he says, give me a drink. And she says, why is it that thou, being a Jew, askest me, a woman of Samaria, for a drink? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You see, in Jesus' lineage, he's got two Gentiles. Jesus has got Rahab the harlot and Ruth the Moabitess. So Jesus is the Good Samaritan. In his ancestry, according to the flesh, he's got two Gentiles who came into a relationship with Israel through a covenant. Mary and Boaz, for one, Ruth's case, she marries Boaz, Boaz being a kinsman redeemer. And so Jesus went to Samaria on purpose. And there he said, if you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who it was that was speaking of you, you would ask of me, and I would give you living water. He said, the water I'm talking about is going to be a well in you springing up in everlasting life. And I don't know about you here today, but ever since I got the Holy Ghost, when I was 21 years old, it's been a well in me. And if you think about it, it's been a well in you. A well is not, it's a source. It's a source you could draw from. And so God didn't just want us to tank up for ourselves, but God wanted us to tank up, but then also give out. And the scripture teaches us, freely we have received and freely we give. So it's our responsibility to go out and give what God has given us, to replicate ourselves in the kingdom. And Pastor was talking about the joy of reproducing after yourself, or going out and telling it, you know, and the joy in telling it. And so here in this passage, in verse 48, he's like a man which builds his house and digs deep and lays it on the foundation of a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 49 says, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation builds his house. Without a foundation. Let's just cut through it. If it's not between the pages of that book, it's nothing you can build on. The reason why the Trinity is so evil, and I call it evil because it is, it's not founded in Scripture. And it's a doctrine of demons. I'll just soon tell you like it is. Jesus never mentioned the Trinity. The prophets of old never mentioned the Trinity. And I'm amazed at how now we're talking about the Trinity when it doesn't exist. God is not a Trinity, never was a Trinity. The Shema Israel, Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, Lord, our God is one Lord. You got to worship God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So there is only one God. So to try to build a foundation upon something faulty, I know where it originates from. I know where it comes from because I was raised Catholic. It didn't start in the apostolic church because none of the apostles mentioned it. But Tertullian and 200 to maybe 260, Tertullian coined the phrase Trinitas. All of the pagan religions were triad gods. Go back and look at it. Male, female, and offspring. That came from Dagon, Astaroth, or Greek mythology. Diana of the Ephesians, they just changed the names, but it was always polytheistic. And so the Romans and the Christians embraced one another, and they codified the doctrine of the Trinity in 325 A under the tutelage of Constantine. And so that was, then they began to change baptism from Jesus' name to titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Nobody in the Bible was baptized in the titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That was something that happened as a result of the Catholic Church in the Council of Nicaea. But it didn't stop there. They started the infallibility of the Pope, the bringing in of idols and shrines into the temple, and the worship of Mary. That was all a result of the Trinity. So when the Protestant Reformation took place, and a Protestant, like Martin Luther and John Calvin and all the reformers, when they found things in error with the Catholic Church, they found 95 things wrong. 95. That's pretty wild, you know. I discovered a lot of those things when I came into truth. When I started reading my Bible and starting realizing you don't pray to statues, you don't pay money to get your sins taken care of, you don't confess your sins to a man, you confess your sins to God. Well, I discovered that through Scripture. That's what I'm talking about here today. You can't build, it's like a man trying to build a house without a foundation. When you build on something false, it's like nailing to a piece of rotten timber. Anybody ever remodel a house? House remodelers, we got any in the house? Anybody get on these projects where nothing's square, nothing's true, everything's rotten, falling apart, the foundation, what do you do? You got to rip all the rotten parts out. You got to remove all the things that's not, you can't nail to it. I mean, you could put a 60-penny nail, but if it's rotten, it's rotten. So it doesn't matter how big the fastener is. And you got people today frustrating themselves. They're trying to build on something faulty. They're trying to build on something that's not found in the Word of God. And it's like a man building a house without a foundation. And they wonder why they're frustrated. Frustrated Christians. Because there's going to be folks in Matthew chapter 7, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we cast out devils in your name, we've done many mighty works in your name. And what is Jesus' response going to be? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And what did he say in response? He that hears these sayings of mine and does them not is a foolish man that builds his house on the sand. But he that hears these sayings of mine and does them is a wise man that builds his house upon a rock. You know, and here we find in this case, when you build on something that's not scripturally sound, it's like a man building a house without a foundation. Now, anybody that's ever built a house, I got a funny story. Everybody knows we bought Sister Katie's little house there. And you know how funny Sister Katie, she'd always tell funny stories. And so when we were in the process of buying a house and all, I can't remember if she told us before or after, but it doesn't matter. It was funny anyway. But she said one day her husband, anybody remembers? I'm sorry, I forgot his name. Mr. Winston. One day Sister Katie's in the house and she's working in the kitchen doing something and she hears a bunch of stuff going on underneath the house. And so she looks and she sees a cinder block come out from underneath the house and another cinder block coming out from under the house. And she opens up the window and she says, Winston, what are you doing? He says, I'm digging a basement. You know where this story's going? I'm digging a basement. Well, he's pulling the piers out from underneath the house. Anybody been in our house? I never did put those piers back. But we got leaning everywhere. And it's funny, Sister Robin, we talked about possibly moving it to a piece of property. And I said, well, finally we'll get the house leveled by a contractor or something, you know. But there's a lot of truth to that. I know it's funny, but it's amazing what's happened. And look at our world today. Little by little, baptism doesn't matter. Little by little, you don't have to have the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Next thing you know, it doesn't matter who you believe in. I am amazed. People who evangelized or people that people venerate very highly have gone across this country preaching, and now they're saying the Muslim's okay. The Hindus are okay. There's an ecumenicalism going on right now, in case you haven't noticed. But where does it start? One block at a time. One block at a time. Let me ask you a question today. If you was hungry for God and you didn't know God, how would you find him? How would your friends find him? I was raised Christian. but I didn't know Christ. How did I find him? I'm not very bright. I got a 10th grade education, and I'm not playing down being dumb or not finishing school. But you know what? When a preacher shared the gospel with me, I had Catholicism, but I didn't know Christ. And if I could find God, everybody in this room can know God. Everybody in this world can know God. Because God's no respecter of persons. But you know what you're going to have to do? And it's painful. But you're going to have to hate your mama, your daddy, your Uncle Billy Bob, Bill Sunday, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, the Pope. Brother Cliff, you're teaching hate? What did Paul tell Timothy in 2 Timothy? Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having a conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats. That's interesting because I was raised Catholic. I know what that is. When I got the Holy Ghost and I got baptized in Jesus' name, I ate pork on Friday. Hallelujah. Catfish is on the menu. Can you imagine? No catfish? No, they ate catfish. I'm just picking. But I didn't come out of Judaism. I came out of Catholicism. But no, I could eat meat on Friday. Why? Because Christ died. And so there was a lot of traditional things that I had. And all of you have traditional things. But you got to keep. Saudi's mountains, they build houses all the time. Brother Jerry, I see them building houses on the Saudi's hills. Where's Josh at, my son-in-law? He's not here. Sometimes it's dynamite. Sometimes it's drilling holes. Why are they doing that? Sometimes it's explosive. What are they doing? All the loose things, all the disconnected things, all the things that are not solid. Brother Avery, parking lots, Alabama, rocks. It's got to come out of the way. Why? Because you got to get down to the bedrock and you got to attach that foundation to something that's solid, not something that's loose, not something that's drifting, not something that's blown by the wind, not something that's just. One quick little snippet. One early morning, I got up on the side of a hill, and I was deer hunting, and I got in there before daybreak, and I climbed a tree. And it was calm. So I felt pretty good. And about 10:30, the wind started blowing. And all of a sudden, I realized I was on the side of a hill in a tree. And I thought real quick, I said, this tree is shaking way, way too loosely for me, 300 pounds or 275, 280, to be up in this tree on the side of this hill. You know, my license still says 265. It still says 265. 2 weeks in the gym, I'll be right back in 265. Yeah. But you don't. Anyway, but needless to say, I scurried down that tree. And the reason I scurried down that tree, because I knew it was not safe. And today, I just want to ask you, go to the Word of God. Look at your life in the mirror. Let this be the mirror in your life. Go back to the foundation of the Word of God. What did the apostles teach? What did the apostles preach? When the question was asked to Peter in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, shake the preacher's hand. Apostle Peter, the first pope, Not really. The first apostle, shake the preacher's hand. Sign a card. Pay your tithes. What did he say? Do what? Now, repent. Well, what does repent mean? What does repent mean today? Is repentance relative? Is it relative to the times? Is it something that changes with the wind? Or did God really teach us about repentance in the Bible? When God repented, he made man, he got rid of it. So when Peter said repent, what did he expect him to do? What did John the Baptist say? Bring forth fruit meet for repentance and quit saying Abraham's your father. See, they were claiming Abraham was their father, but he said you need to bring fruit meet for repentance. And then what did Peter say? Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. Do what? Is that what your Bible says? You're right. It does say that. And everywhere in the Bible they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, name is singular. Name is singular. Not N-A-M-E-S. Name is singular. What's the one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved? Colossians 3:17, whatever we do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Okay. We're going to have to close. Any questions, comments, brilliant observations? You understand all mysteries, you have all knowledge. It's time to eat. I appreciate y'all. Just ask you, be honest with yourself. Look and see where you are in the Word. Go back to the book of Acts. Go back and see what they did. And connect yourself. I had somebody tell me not long ago, said, well, you got your origin out of the 1900s. I said, beg to differ. My origin didn't come from the 1900s. My origin comes from the book of Acts. My origin didn't come 325 or 1500 years after Christ. My origin, I could find my experience, and you ought to be able to find your experience in the book of Acts. If you can't see yourself in the book of Acts, then I suggest you go back and find the Word of God. Let's pray. Let's stand up. If you have not been baptized in Jesus' name and you would like to be, or if you haven't received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we got water. You can come. Let's pray and let's God ask God to have his way. Brother Warren, if you'll pray for us over the food.